Read can be found on page 246 of the Bible, and it's taken from Judges chapter 6, commencing at verse 1. The Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel, and because of Midian, the Israelites provided for themselves hiding places in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. For whenever the Israelites put in seed, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the land as far as the Nebohab of Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they and their livestock would come up, and they would even bring their tents as thick as locusts. Neither they nor their camels could be counted. So they wasted the land as they came in. Thus Israel was greatly impoverished because of Midian, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites, and he said to them, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I lead you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not pay reverence to the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not given heed to my voice." Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash and Abiezrite, as is his son Gideon, was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Gideon answered him, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all these wonderful deeds that our ancestors recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has cast us off and given us into the hand of the Midian." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. I hereby commission you." He responded, "But sir, how can I deliver Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites, every one of them." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor with you, then show me a sign that it is you who speak to me. Do not depart from here until I come to you, and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I will stay until you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a kid and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and the broth he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, "Help me, Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord of Peace. To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to Amazrites. That night, the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull, the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that belongs to your father, and cut down the sacred pole that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold there, in proper order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the sacred pole, and you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the townspeople to do it by day, he did it by night. Here ends the first lesson.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 9, reading from verse 35. This will be found on page 10 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment. Give without payment. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to listen to your word and to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. In 1899, three commercial travelers in the USA formed an association of Christian businessmen. They wanted to encourage each other in their Christian faith, and they wanted to spread knowledge of God through personal evangelism and united service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a major part of their work was to place Bibles in hotels, hospitals, prisons, care homes, medical centers, schools, colleges, eventually all over the world. And I'm sure you can guess who I'm talking about. They chose the name Gideon after that character that Maureen has read to us about. And we're going to be focusing on Gideon for the next few weeks. And as we'll hear, he was someone who did great work for the Lord with limited resources, just in a way those Christian businessmen did. They started something very small, but it grew. Gideon was the younger son of Joash, who was a member of the clan of Abiezer from the tribe of Manasseh, descended from Joseph. His name means hewer, or smiter, and by the end of the series we'll have a better idea why that name fits so well. But let's think about the context. The book of Judges tells us of the mess that the Israelites kept getting into. And you may have noticed our reading begins again. It wasn't the first time they got into a mess, and it certainly wasn't going to be the last. And the book of Judges shows us a series of ups and downs in people's responses to God. It tells of various prophets and preachers who managed to save the people yet again. And you can read about Ehud, Deborah, then Gideon, then Jephthah and Samson. Judges is quite a good read. Each cycle begins, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And each cycle ends with a comment about peace. And somewhere in the middle, there's usually a reference to the people crying out to the Lord. The Israelites couldn't keep, they couldn't keep doing what they should have done. They didn't do what they'd promised they were going to do. They kept failing to keep their side of the bargain that God had made with them, the covenant he'd made. So God didn't stop the Midianites from invading them. Now the Midianites were a Bedouin tribe, and they were descended from Abraham's son Ishmael through by one of his maids. The problems between Arab and Jew have gone on for a very long time, haven't they? Midianites were a small tribe, and they usually formed coalitions with other nomadic tribes like the Amalekites, who were mentioned in the reading, and they were also descended from Abraham. And the Midianites, with their allies, were so strong that the Israelites had to shelter in caves in the mountains to try and fortify themselves. They tried to plant crops so they'd got something to eat, but they kept being invaded. The Midianites would move in, camp over the crops, and destroy them. The Midianites were cruel and violent. They killed the Israelites. They killed all the animals. They were a bit like a marauding swarm of locusts destroying everything in their path. And that repeated cycle of apostasy, oppression, and distress was enough to make the Israelites cry out to God again for deliverance. And they needed that reminder from an unnamed prophet who rebukes them, reminds them about the Exodus, reminds them how God had rescued them from Egypt, but they'd failed to listen and to learn. And it was in that situation that Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press, undercover, protected, confined space, so that the Midianites wouldn't see what he was doing. Doubt if it was very comfortable to thresh corn in a covered space, but it was safer. The angel comes, sits down under the oak tree that belonged to his father. Angels were messengers from God. Some have argued that they could have been pre-incarnations of Christ. Some that it was God himself. Whatever is true, angels brought clear messages from God. And that was true for Gideon, wasn't it? He greets him with the words, "The Lord be with you, mighty warrior." We often think that that is a prophecy of what Gideon was going to become, but one commentator says it could simply be a reference to the fact that he was a member of the aristocracy. We certainly know from later on in the reading that he had servants. Gideon evidently perceives that whoever this angel is, he has authority. And he might know, why has God deserted them? How can God be with them? Where is the God that got them out of Egypt? He feels that God's abandoned them. He's allowed the Midianites to take control. The angel doesn't answer that question. He just gives Gideon a commission. He is to go and save Israel using the strength that he has. He already has the gifts and the power he needs. Gideon's doubtful. I think I would be too. He's the least significant member of his family, which is the smallest clan in the whole tribe, How can he command the resources and manpower to fight a great battle against these marauding hordes? But he's reassured God will be with him. He's to go in the strength of the Lord, and they'll work together to smite the Midianites. Gideon, I don't think, is totally convinced. And he asks for a sign that this is indeed a message from God. In one sense, he's bargaining with the angels. Stay here for a bit while I fetch you an offering, a present. Says he will, so Gideon goes off to prepare this meal of kid and broth and unleavened bread. And when he returns, he does what the angel tells him to do. Puts the meat and bread on the rock, pours the broth over them so they'd be damp. And then he receives his sign. The angel touches the meat and the bread with his staff, and they go up in flames. The offering's accepted, the angel disappears, and Gideon knows that this is indeed a message from God. And he wants to worship God. And then he realizes he's seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And that's amazing. To see God face to face was thought to be fatal. People who see God face to face die. But again, he's reassured. He's not to be afraid. He's so full of praise and thanksgiving that he wants to do something and builds an altar to the Lord. But that's only the start of the story, because the Lord visits him in the night with further instructions. He's to take his father's second best bull, tear down the altar to Baal that his father had built. His father was probably one of the Israelites who turned to other gods. He was to cut down the Asherah pole, which was erected to worship Astarte, the goddess of fertility, sexuality, and war. And he's to build another altar, use the wood from the pole to sacrifice his father's bull. So he obeys. But he does it secretly at night because he's afraid of what his family would do or what the people in the town who worship Baal would do, tearing down their altar, tearing down the pole of the goddess they worshipped. It's a good yarn, isn't it? And it leaves you wondering what's going to come next. But you'll have to wait until next week to find out. It's even more exciting. But is it more than just a good story? Has it anything to say to us today? It certainly tells us something about our God. It's a God who wants his people to worship him, and not all the other gods. And maybe some of our gods today are a bit different from the Baal and the Astarte. But there are other gods in our world today. He's a God who's in control. He's a God who challenges. And God uses people who might not be the obvious choice. But he's a God who gives people the skills and abilities they need to achieve what he wants them to do. Gideon was an insignificant member of a relatively insignificant family. And we see that so often in the Bible, don't we? Jesus' disciples, who we heard named in our second reading, were hardly the most obvious people that were going to go on to build the Christian church. Is he choosing you for something that you think is way beyond your skills? Like Gideon, we have to be prepared to listen when God speaks to us. We may need to test out what we think God is saying to us. Nowadays, we wouldn't be offering a sacrifice, but we might want to be talking it through with other people, checking it out in Bible reading and in prayer. And sometimes we, like Gideon, may feel totally inadequate. Why me, Lord? Or perhaps not me, Lord. But as we'll see later in the series, God does give people the resources they need to do the things he wants us to do to advance his kingdom. We may have to use our minds to work out how to do it. Gideon realized he needed to do the first bit at night when he couldn't be seen. But if we listen to God in small ways, we too might be mighty warriors, as Gideon was to become. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to listen, to comprehend, and to act in response to what you want to say to us, recognizing that you will be with us and will not test us beyond our abilities and resources. In Jesus' name, amen.